Well, we're going to talk about an interesting topic, perhaps, and perhaps you wonder what it has to do with Christianity, but we're going to be talking about environmentalism this evening. I believe that there is a biblical view of environmentalism, and what brought this to mind is my last two trips abroad last year with David Cloud, when we went and filmed a lot of things. One of the places that we stopped was Brussels, Belgium. And Brussels, Belgium is a common meeting place for the world community. And Brussels, Belgium is still one of the filthiest places in the world. As we were walking to the place where William Tyndale was burned at the stake, we came across this smelly, smelly river. I mean, it reeked. It reeked of human waste. And I said, what in the world is that? And our guide said to me, this is where a lot of the refuse comes, because in Brussels, Belgium, there's still a lot of sewage that drains directly into the river. And this sewage runs raw down through this river past the place where Belvoorde Castle once stood. And that hasn't changed in hundreds of years. Well, this last time I wanted to see an ancient site. You've heard of perhaps of monoliths. Well, the greatest or the most famous one is Stonehenge. I've been to Stonehenge several times, but this time I wanted to go to one that's in the Cotswolds. It's called the Rollright Stones. And they were used by pagans as a as a worship site. And I want to take a picture, because I oftentimes speak out against the cults and the occult. And so we had a GPS location for the Rollright Stones, and that's a global positioning location for them. And they're in the midst of a farmer's field, and we were able to go to the to find the Rollright Stones. And while I'm not for defacing anything, somebody had gone along with the Rollright Stones and had splashed some yellow paint on the Rollright Stones. And my wife is reading the write-up that's on there, and there was a reward offered, as there should be when somebody paints graffiti on anything. But then it's come to find out that that site, who's in charge of that site, is a witch, is a pagan. And she said it's time to go back to human sacrifice, because whoever defaced these stones, they caused damage to the oldest and largest community of lichen in all of Europe. Now, I don't know whether you know what lichen is. It's a little moss that grows on rocks. And I'm sitting there reading this and saying, and this is published in a major newspaper, and I'm saying, boy, this lady is 100% serious. And yet she'd been playing marbles and she lost all of hers. I want to tell you that the radical environmentalists, and I use the term radical advisedly, but the radical environmentalists, they're out to do away with people. They're out to protect. You know, when you go to build anything, if you got wetlands on your property, be careful. You used to try and drain some of the wetlands, but there might be, like there is over here in Oak Creek, there's a little spot where there's some kind of bug, and that's been cordoned off so nobody can build and bother that area, because you might make that bug extinct. And so you have to ask yourself, is there a biblical view of environmentalism? And I'm here to tell you that there is. And today I think a lot of Christians are buying into some of the more radical views of environmentalism and so on and so forth. And if you're a vegetarian, you're welcome to be a vegetarian. That's fine. And some people have to do it for health things. But if I want to eat a steak, There's nothing sinful about eating a steak, so I'm not going to be on a crusade for save the cows, you know. I'm just not going to do it. But there's some people who take things so out of context. But let's look at God's divine plan for creation. And I just want you to turn with me, first of all, to Psalm chapter 8 and verse 4 and 5. As I was thinking about that and the roll right stones and the lady all tweaked about the lichen being, and she's willing to sacrifice people, go back to that and has it in print, and yet some moss gets damaged, and boy, she's really in an upset. Psalm 8, verse 4 and 5. It says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that thou visitest him," it says, "for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hand, over the works of thy hands, and thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." Do you know that God has given man dominion over the earth? Now, he wants you to exercise it. He wants me to exercise it wisely. It is not proper for me to take my junk, as I've seen happen so many times. I detest people who go to restaurants or along the side of the road and they dump all their cigarette butts or all their junk there someplace. That's not wise stewardship. That's wrong. But I just want to tell you that God has entrusted man to have dominion over all of creation. And to back that up, let's turn back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 and 27. In Genesis chapter 1, in verse 26 and verse 27, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Now watch this. "And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created him. Male and female created he them. And it's very, very clear, verse 27, God created man in his own image, and he's given man dominion. Man is the representative of God in creation. He's given him dominion, and he's created man in whose image? In his own image. And in fact, what's very, very interesting is that man is the center of God's creation. If you read Genesis chapter 2, we don't have time to go through the entirety of Genesis chapter 2, but the purpose that God created the heavens and created the earth and the things on the earth was to meet man's needs. It was. God put man there. He's to dress it and keep the creation. That is true. But God created this world, put man in him, provided food for him. And he said, have dominion over this. Rule this. Care for this. Man is a steward. He can't use it outside. Can't use creation or should not use creation outside of the biblical realm. But man's responsibility in creation was to care for it, and we didn't read it in Genesis 1:28. He's to replenish the earth. Constantly we have people who are yelling about population control. And if you have more than one kid in China, you're in big trouble. But look at Genesis 1:28 as we read a little bit further there. It says, "And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And subdue it," and then again he says it, "and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over everything that moveth upon the earth." Now, I believe that children should be brought forth in a biblical context. You know what that means? It means a male husband and a female wife who unite together, and then they rear children in the context of the family. That's part of God's stewardship. But if you just have the view, I'm going to have no kids, or I'm going to just have one kid, I think that you're outside of God's realm. I believe that God says that we're to replenish the earth, and then He has said that we are to have dominion over the earth. And man is responsible for creation to subdue it, and that means to get into it and use it for a profitable purpose, and to have dominion over all of creation. There's a lot of areas where I just remember the big row that has gone up in a little bit further north in Wisconsin. They were going to try and open a copper mine up there on the way to Northland Baptist Bible College, and it would open up a lot of new jobs. But the environmentalists were protesting the mines and put up such a stink that finally they said, "Okay, we're not going to do that." I know that there's all kinds of a row about mining coal, and I know that there's all kinds of a row about the power plants, and nobody wants a power plant next door to them. I understand those things, but God has He put us in charge of His creation. We are to use it wisely, but what is so stupid today is all of the yap and all the talk about the global warming and all this sort of things and the ozone hole. I've lived long enough where I've seen the ozone hole close and open and open and close, and all these different things happen, and everybody is getting real tweaked about the global warming situation. There's some Christians even buying into that global warming theory. And they're worried that all the ice is going to melt and it's going to flood everything. And let me just tell you, we're living in the end times, and it's all going to end one day, and the heavens are going to roll up as a scroll. And until that time, we can subdue the earth. We can use the earth to our advantage. If you want to eat chicken, eat chicken. If you want to eat camel, I have no idea, no desire to, but eat camel. whatever. God has put it there for us. Man is responsible for creation, and He expects us to subdue it and to use it for our advantage. And now, also, God wants us to understand that we are responsible to use creation wisely. Turn with me to Leviticus 25. And in verse 4, in Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 4, I know that there's areas where we haven't done things properly. And in you say, well, this is Old Testament, but we can learn from the Word of God. I want you to see this. It says, but in the seventh year. Now, let's back up just a little bit. To verse 1, it says, and the Lord spake to Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. Say, what is that all about? Now listen, just follow along. 6 years thou shalt sow the field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, and a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth in its own accord of thy harvest shall thou not reap, neither gather grapes of thy vineyard, for it is a year of rest unto the land. It used to be in the early days of the farming in the United States that farmers used to follow this. In their farms, they would have portions of land that they would plant so that the land could rest. That a portion of the land each year would rest, and you'd break it up and do that. Now, there's a great problem with that today. The reason that God gave this to the children of Israel, let me tell you, if you keep farming a place of land year after year, 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 you're going to wear out the land. You are. That's not wise stewardship. God expects you to be a wise steward. He's laid down some guidelines in His Word. So what have they done today? Well, they just fertilized the daylights out of it. And you know what happens? If you do not let the land rest, you know, you've got to have more production per acre. So you put all these fertilizers on it and all these sort of things. And I'm not here preaching all organic farming. I'm not saying that. But let me just tell you, when you don't follow God's Word, when you don't follow God's Word, you don't let the land rest. Ultimately, let me just tell you, a farmer who has never let any of his land rest and fertilizes real heavily, I'll drink bottled water on the farm because you're going to pollute the water source that's there. And I saw and I still see around a lot of farmers, they clean out the barn and they would fertilize the field with the refuse of the cow and work it in and so on and so forth. Well, that's what God made all of this for, but we have to be wise stewards. And how many of you ever, the Bible even talks about crop rotation. You know, you don't, you if you drive back and forth on 38, I guess Howell Avenue is called 38 also, they don't plant cabbage every year in the same field. Do you know that? There's a reason for that. You plant various crops, you rotate your crops, and then it helps keep your land healthy so it can produce for many years. God has laid out a number of things for us, and so we need to be wise stewards of our environment. I'm not a great fan of drinking milk that has bovine growth hormones, where the cows have had bovine growth hormone in it. I think there's a lot of things in our food today that cause us allergies and cause us problems and really load up our system. I believe that's true. But by the same token, for somebody to say, oh, well, I want to tell you something. There's too many people here. So like Jacques Cousteau used to say, we need to have, I think he said, we need to have about 35,000 people die a day so that, or it might even be 350. I'd have to go back and check the presentation I had that in. But too many people, too many people. Do you realize that you could fit all the people in the world? I kid you not. You could fit all the people in the world in Texas. You could. You could fit all the people in the world in Texas. I mean, not say they could have big houses and great farms, but all the people in the world would fit in the size of Texas. England is a little country. And yet there is so much farm fields and all the things there. I want to tell you something. I'm not worried about overpopulation. We just need to follow God's Word. We need to do things biblically. If we'd do things biblically, if we'd have children biblically, if we'd rear them biblically, if we'd plant crops biblically, then we wouldn't have some of the problems that we have. Now, I also want to tell you that while if we want to have pork for supper, if we want to have beef for supper, in the case of Great Britain, some people eat it here, but they have a lot of lamb. There's a lot of lamb on the menu there. And some of the fancy restaurants, there's horse. On the fancy restaurants, I stayed away from the horse meat. I'm not great fond of that. If you go in some parts of the world, they eat dog. If they wanted to eat dog, that's fine. Just don't eat my dog. you know, whatever. But turn with me to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 10. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 10. In Proverbs chapter 12, in verse 10, it says this. It says, the righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. If you have pets, if you have cattle, if you have rabbits, if you raise chickens, and so on and so forth, God expects you to care for them appropriately. God expects you to care for them properly. He doesn't want them abused. Sometime this past winter that I saw on the news where these poor three horses, I think it was down in Racine or Kenosha County, they hadn't fed them. They were skin and bones. I mean, that's not right. That's not the way. If you have animals, you need to care for those animals. God doesn't want you to abuse His creation. That's abusing the creation. So we need to understand that is true. But also, as He forbids cruelty on this, He also talks about the importance of personal hygiene. God is very, very, very interested in the responsibility. We need to be very, very cautious how we behave in nature and very cautious about our personal hygiene. For instance, in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 12 and 13. In Deuteronomy chapter 23, it's if you study a little bit, I'll just explain it to you. It says, "Thou shalt have a place also without the camp, whither thou shalt go abroad." And let's back up a little bit. Verse 10, it says, "If there be among you any man that is not clean by reason of uncleanness, and that chanceth by him by night, then shall he go abroad out of the camp and shall not come within the camp." It says, "But it shall be when the evening cometh, he shall wash himself with water." We get a whole lot less diseases and a whole lot less problems if we're wise stewards of our cleanliness. God expects us. You know, it is not bright to eat without washing your hands. If you remember, there was a restaurant that we would eat with from time to time, but somebody ate there and ultimately died. Several other people were infected, and I can't remember what it was, Ebola or whatever they got in the E. coli in the food and so on. But contamination, cross-contamination, you know, when you're preparing meals, when you're eating meals, it's a good idea to let the water run, to wash your hands with soap and water, you know, and you ought to do it not just in 3 seconds. You know, it ought to be a 20-second thing where you wash and rinse and do underwater. You ought to take a bath regularly or a shower regularly. I took my first bath in a year on vacation because we stayed in a place that didn't. You say, "Pastor!" Well, I take showers the rest of the time, okay? But there was just a bathtub, a big bathtub that I fit in. A 250-pound man doesn't fit in some of those little things that they call bathtubs normally. So I was able to get in this bathtub, Joe, believe it or not, and I took a bath for the first time in a year. It was kind of nice. I take showers normally. But as we look at this, it talks about the importance of personal hygiene, the importance of keeping clean, and you know, why steward of the environment if you're going to sneeze? I mean, there's nothing in the scriptures that says you have to cover your mouth when you sneeze, but, you know, if you're right next to your friends and so, and you spread it all over them, No, that's why I carry a hanky, because sometimes I have what I call sneezing fits, where I'll sneeze 6 or 7 times in a row, and if I get one of those things that come on me, I want to have a hanky, so my dog goes running every time I have one of those sneezing fits, and goes right next to my wife, right as close to my wife as he can get. I mean, I don't know what he thinks happening, but nonetheless, God expects us to behave properly there, and it says, "And when the sun is down, he shall come into the camp." Now, it talks about this. It says, It says, thou shalt have a place without the camp whither thou shalt go forth abroad, and thou shalt use a paddle upon thy weapon. They're basically talking about a shovel and digging a latrine, okay? And what they're talking about here is in relationship to the human processes and defecation and stuff. You just don't let that stuff sit around. It is to be disposed of properly. There's a proper way to care for those things. They don't have many outhouses. In my last church, there was a family who had an outhouse. They didn't have indoor plumbing. In the last church, we'd go over and we'd always try and visit the facilities before we went over to their home because we didn't like to use the outhouse there. But it keeps disease under control. If you read through the scripture in the Old Testament, God says, I will cause none of these diseases to come upon you if ye will do these things. And these things had to do with washing and cleanliness, the washing of food and all those sort of things. God does expect us to be wise stewards of what He has given us. That isn't the radical environmentalism like people have today, where they actually think the environment is God. When they say Mother Earth with a capital M, they're thinking that Mother Earth is a living and breathing being, and where God has created this world and given it to us to have dominion over it and care for it. Now, certainly, we're not supposed to be throwing our garbage all over the place. Garbage influences sanitation and affects the health of people. We need to dispose of garbage properly. Sewage affects rivers and lakes, and polluted water becomes a health hazard for anybody. If the water is so polluted, you can't you can't swim in it, or you get something. Bad air is not good for anybody. And yet, by the same token, we have the radical environmentalists who are pushing their agenda and thinking of Mother Earth as a living, created being, and think that we are to serve Mother Earth, and that just is not true. God created Earth, gave us the dominion over the Earth and its creation to be able to serve us. We want to take care of what God has entrusted us with, but I just really will use this as a last illustration. You have all these people out there who don't want you touching the forests in the West. And so for years and years and years, nobody has touched the forests, and they haven't cut the sacred trees. You know, and so what has happened? Have you seen the big fires that have taken place the last year? I mean, a proper discreet timbering or using of those trees for timber and clearing out the underbrush. In our previous church as well, we lived right on the edge of a large group of hardwood trees. And it was very nice to be able to take a walk because they had gone through there and cut the larger trees for lumber. In the process of that, they cleared out all of the underbrush, so we weren't worried that there was going to be a fire that was going to come and burn our whole little community back there in the woods, because it had been treated properly. And some of the other new trees were growing in there now, and it was a great place to hunt because some little bushes were going back up, and they were doing it properly. But man always wants to do things radically that's against God's will. So, you know, don't cut the sacred forest. Well, ultimately, that'll come back and get you, because God says we're to have dominion over those things. Yet, when you look at the parallel to that, Linda and I were short-term missionaries in Haiti. Now, there in Haiti, they did just the opposite. Instead of properly logging all the hardwoods that were there in Haiti, they clear-cut everything. Now, that's not using your brain either, because guess what happened? When the rains came, great gully washers came and washed off all the topsoil, and it took years of re-terracing to be able to make it so that people could farm that land once again. God expects us to carefully use what we have had, but we don't worship it, we don't serve it. It has been given to us to serve our needs as human beings. And so there is a biblical balance in this whole thing. Cleanliness, is important. The proper use of what God has given us is important. The stewardship of the environment is important. But then you don't go to the extreme where now you have to use all this additive in the gas in the United States. And you know what that's doing? When you put that alcohol in the gas, it is so polluting. There's a residue that comes out of your tailpipe from that alcohol. It's supposed to be cleaner in the environment, then it goes to the ground, and it's polluting worse than ever. Now, I certainly am not a fan of the high gas prices when I come back, but I just want to tell you something. With all the environmental restraints in Britain, I figured it out. We were paying over $5 a gallon. Over $5 a gallon in Britain, and the great majority of that is in taxes. It's taxes, what they've done on that. I hope America doesn't follow suit, but they're more radical environmental over there because Prince Charles pushes that agenda over there. They're much more radically environmental, and all that's going to do is drive up the prices. I'll tell you what, walking's great, but you don't get there as fast as you do when you drive. It was very fun to be able to see nature as Lynn and I took a 4-mile walk through the sheep fields and the Cotswolds along little rivers and streams and back into the little villages and all that sort of things. And as you're walking through the fields, you kind of dodge the landmines there. I don't mean actual landmines. I mean animal landmines. But And yet, God has let us use our mind for transportation. And I'm sure glad that the whole trip wasn't walking. It would have been a hard time, a long time to walk from here. And I don't know how you'd have done it, walked over the water and then got to England. But so remember who's the boss. Number one, God's the boss. But number two, He has given us dominion over His creation. So don't go out and start throwing junk around. Don't ignore the rules of cleanliness. Don't throw your junk all over the place. But by the same token, don't spend a whole lot of time getting all worked up over the agenda of the radical environmentalists who are so out of it because of the fact that they think nature indeed is a goddess. Not so. Follow the Word of God and you won't go wrong.